Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Two-Man Canoe, Episode 10, The Swish, with Brian Moot. We talk hoops. Josh gets a new comedy writing partner. We have an almost unacceptable amount of talk about James Vanderbeek, and a nearly acceptable amount of talk about Bill Murray. It's a little more lighthearted than our last one, so please enjoy the canoe.
Hey, welcome to the Two-Man Canoe. I'm doing the fucking intro.
Welcome to the show.
See, that was fun.
That was Dylan I did. Have you done Dylan yet?
I've done Dylan.
Oh, man. It just all your impressions
sound
like
you
Dylan.
You did Jacob Dylan.
I did Jacob Dylan of the Wallflowers.
The shittier Dylan.
Yeah. Well, it's hard not to be the shittier Dylan when your dad is Bob. Somebody has a joke about that.
Yeah. He should have called himself Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm. He should have gone with Zimmerman. Anyway, we are here in the canoe, episode 10. Please welcome to the canoe, everybody, our good friend from Seattle and Los Angeles and Boston, Brian Moot. Everybody, Brian Moot's in the
canoe.
Brian
Moot! Yeah, that's my podcast entrance.
No,
it's like ludicrous or something.
We have been trying to incorporate more sound effects.
Well, I'm like
canoe.
I'm like the podcast Bobby McFerrin.
it's a cappella.
Is that guy too old for sound effects?
For a podcast?
No, Michael Winslow.
The man of 10,000 podcasts.
For a second, I thought you were talking about Bobby Fischer.
Does anybody remember Bobby McFerrin, or is that just I had one crazy hippie?
No, he had he'd Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Don't Worry, Be Happy?
Yeah, Bobby McFerrin.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, I think he had his moment. We probably don't need to keep bringing him up on podcasts.
No, that's what we do.
We're switching after a whole study. We're going to all Bobby McFerrin.
Yeah, every week is going to be called Don't Worry, Be Happy.
It's going to be a big drop-off after the first
episode. Yeah, we're going to have to do a lot of research.
Nothing but super Bobby McFerrin fans. There's probably like a group on Facebook, at least 20.
We have a fan of our podcast.
Oh, really?
We've talked about it before, but new developments. He posts on our blog, and he's great. We love having him as a fan.
10 billion people listen to this.
And only one posts on it. Yeah. There's a lot of fair weather fan bandwagon, if you will.
And there's an extensive application process.
Yep.
You got to buy beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. Yeah.
And you have $6.
He posted on our blog that we have for the podcast that he was playing a poker tournament in Bulgaria, and he finished 11th, which congratulations, Andy. And then he mentioned our podcast on Bulgarian television when he was interviewed. So that's a real fan. Guys, if you think you're a fan of this podcast, until you've mentioned us on foreign television.
How cool would it be if we took off in Bulgaria?
Yeah. It'd be great.
And we got to fly over there? Where is Bulgaria?
Eastern Europe, I think.
Oh, I hope we don't take off.
Odds are you won't be in Eastern Europe anymore.
We're going to be huge with 6'10 small forwards.
If you can shoot the three and you have long hair, and you're from Eastern Europe.
Sasha Vujacic, if you're listening to this.
It's going to be tough.
Come on, Drago.
We'd have to go in the spring and leave by the early fall if Napoleon has taught us anything. Wait a second. You know, you can take a plane. You don't have to go across an icy river.
Oh, no, we do icy river.
It's Eastern Europe, man.
It's Chinatown, Jack.
What is this army?
So that's Brian Moot is here. He's
other podcasts in defense of us may scorch the earth. That's another thing they did.
We're in physical combat with other podcasts.
Yeah, so they might have to set fire to the land and kill all the animals.
Does Jeff Ferguson?
So that our army can't feed off them.
Jeff Ferguson has a podcast, right?
I don't think he does.
Not that he records. He just does it all day long while he's walking.
I think our friend Sean Carter has a podcast. He does. I know that. But Boston, not a big podcast city for comedy, like New York.
Well, they don't have MacBooks.
In the whole city, we're the only two.
You gotta have a Dell. Yeah, if you have a Dell, you're not doing podcasts.
I'm the only one who knows where the Mac store is.
There's like 7 of them in the city. Yeah.
They don't have the key.
Yeah, that's true. It's good. It's good that they gave you the key to Mac City.
Bulger's the mayor, the corrupt mayor of Mac City.
He's Mayor Mac Cheese. He's like his head is a computer with cheese on it for some reason.
So cool.
It's great,
Josh. Now you're just being silly.
I am being silly. I thought that's what this was about.
Andrew Slater and I almost started a podcast, but instead he's writing a blog.
His blog is great.
I like his blog.
Let's plug Andrew Slater's blog. Andrew Slater, another Seattle friend who's
locker room cancer. It's really funny.
It's really funny.
And so fast, too. Very topical with his sports.
Well, you got to be with sports.
Yeah, right?
That's
the problem with my blog. Really, I kept writing about
fucking Celtics game 7 tonight. Slater's blog is great.
I kept writing about Larry Johnson's back injury.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
Yeah, can we
Havlicek steals the ball!
Can we be, like, Boston consultants to...
I know, we gotta ask
him. Should. Guest bloggers.
I have access to the Boston Globe.
What do you mean? Like, you can read it?
Yeah.
We all do.
Like, I have a subscription.
Oh, Andrew doesn't.
No, he does. We have Boston.com.
I don't think he
There's a Boston... No, that's for the city of Boston's but website.
He could go... Boston Globe has a website.
I think, it to is. Be honest, I don't think he... I think it's just... Whatever's on SportsCenter. It always ends up being, like, the major thing. There's always something with sports every day. Like,
but that's good.
Yeah,
like, that's what you want.
Like, yeah, what is it? Roy Williams and Des
sports
Bryant.
Sports is like news thing. For dumb people.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Me too.
No, I'm an idiot.
I've never watched the news in my life.
Why would you?
No.
Right?
The only time I get to see the news is when there's a big enough tragedy...
That the news takes
that,
over.
That ESPN things. Reports on it.
Finally. Or that, or like, somehow in that tragedy, one athlete was killed.
I remember on September 14th, 2001, be like, no football this week. I said to myself,
why?
Never forget.
What happened?
Never forget Sean Green's four home runs.
Was there an emergency? Was there an emergency?
So,
we're going to fucking play the World Series in November, I said.
Where part of town are you staying in, Brian? We haven't talked about this.
I was in Cambridge the last few days.
Right on. Dan Balder picked you up to bring you to this podcast taping.
From downtown.
At the Canoe Studios in Somerville. New Canoe Studios. Used to be in Alston. Now it's in Somerville because I moved.
More attic-y.
Less basement-y.
Have you noticed a difference?
It's got way more of a podcast vibe to it.
It does. Back when it was in a basement, it was almost like...
Yeah, I felt like we were on the radio.
You did it before.
No, I didn't. I just been in basements. Oh. There's always radio stations.
I had them on speakerphone.
Dan picked you up to come here, and his car smells atrocious.
It literally, and you know what's funny about it, is Dan's car always smelled bad. So
right.
He was so bad, he apologized for it, which he'd never done before. Like, it smelled like rotten food before, but this is, like, a new level of
horrible. This is poo.
It's definite poo. Smells like someone took a crap in a bottle, like a half-empty bottle of shit.
Well,
the thing
is, because that's what it is. Here's what happened. I have a sister.
Okay.
Is related to me.
Yep.
By parents.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long has she been your sister?
24 years.
Great.
24. She's older than me.
Going strong.
Yeah, yeah. So... She has a place in Hummerock, Massachusetts, which is kind of like the Cape.
Okay.
Kind of like Cape Cod, if you're on Bulgaria or something, you don't know what that is. It's near the ocean. And,
he's got to give every preface, everything out. Now, if you're listening in Bulgaria...
If you're listening out there in Bulgaria, you can post up back to the basket.
We can't afford translators, so I'll just explain it to you.
Yeah, you see, no matter how good you get at basketball, our B team will always beat you. But
Kevin Durant is amazing. Sorry.
Seattle. Yeah, I don't know how that's a B team.
Sorry, guy from Seattle.
The best guy in the world.
That must be crushing. He's so good.
He's so good. I was talking with Dan. It's the worst, man. It's like, because he's like the next, like literally he'll be the next best player in the NBA.
Oh, you gotta be closer.
Like while all those guys are duking it out in Miami being idiots and no one cares, Kevin Durant's just going to somehow sneaky win the Western Conference with whatever.
And he's young. He might grow some more.
Who knows? Yeah, what is he, like 20?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
20 scores 35 points a
game. I still think Greg Oden was a good first pick.
Oh
yeah, if you don't like him playing ever.
I think we should get a Greg Oden, Darko Milicic front line going on some team.
I think we can probably get him to play on our intramural team.
We could probably get him in our fantasy football league.
Although somebody signed him on. Somebody signed Milicic. I don't know who did. But they gave him like 4 years and like $5 million a year.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
We lost, last year we lost Eric Byrne. Like a left fielder for Seattle.
Oh yeah,
and we lost him to a softball team in the Midwest who gave him $5 million for one season.
What?
Somebody like a big stakes like Houston softball team.
That's amazing.
It's like all these millionaires playing it, and
they wanted
a
ringer.
Yeah, you can find. You can give.
Was it Mr. Burns that hired him?
It's ridiculous.
Was he asked to shave his sideburns?
No, that's the source of all his power.
Hey, another Simpsons reference.
Yeah, we're really killing
it. 3 weeks in a row.
For those of you who don't know the Kevin Durant thing we're talking about, Seattle Supersonics were unceremoniously moved to Oklahoma City, which no one
should
ever do.
Yeah, no.
And they're really good now.
Yeah. And what's sad about it is it's all the dudes.
If you thought Seattle made you want to kill yourself.
Oh, my God. Oklahoma City.
Cobain would have done it by now.
He would have released one album.
Yeah,
he would have done.
Yeah, he would have made the new theme song for the old Sonics, and then just be a gunshot.
He would have shot himself because he couldn't finish writing Lithium.
Yeah. Yep. It would have been Bleach and then Shotgun. Yeah. That would have been.
Well, he would have drank some bleach.
Yep.
It's devastating because while they were tanking that team on purpose, drafting every shitty center they could find, Robert Swift, like all these giant idiots that were never going to play. Seattle, their value
was
going
Wilcox?
Down.
Chris Wilcox.
All these terrible players that were never good. Then they sell it to this new group from Oklahoma who starts drafting great players. And I was like, yeah, this is awesome. So then we drafted Westbrook, Durant.
Got Jeff Green.
Jeff
in
Green,
trade.
Yeah. All those three
killer
guys.
Killer trade by you guys,
yeah,
by the way.
All-stars.
I think it went
all-stars.
It helped us short-term, but right now I'd rather have Jeff Green.
Oh, man. Jeff Green is a beast.
Yeah.
And such an undercover beast, because he didn't, like, in the draft, like, who is Jeff Green?
That's actually a screenplay I'm writing.
Undercover beast. It's about a werewolf police officer.
It's starring Eddie Griffin.
I know there's drugs in there.
And the werewolf from...
One night a month, I keep the city
Jason
free crime.
From Teen Wolf 2.
Yeah, yeah. Undercover beast. And he solves murders. His own murders.
It's like a reverse Dexter.
Oh my god! So what if there's a detective...
He killed him to solve his own
werewolf.
Yeah,
there's like a detective that's a werewolf, but he doesn't realize he's a werewolf, so he's got to... I think we have a werewolf down, guys.
Uh-oh, what's Taylor Lautner doing? Get his agent on the phone.
I think we've got a werewolf.
He'll show up for the crime scenes all late and disheveled. Hey, what's wrong with you? Nothing, man. I woke up. But God, I was really confused this morning. I don't know what happened.
I gotta stop drinking.
I picked a bad.
Why are you always
drinking.
The first one on the crime scene with no clothes on?
I told you, during a full moon, it just makes me itchy.
I have a sixth sense for these kind of things, knowing where people have been eaten in parks.
It was like I smelled my way to the scene of the crime.
That's a better buddy cop movie, too. Like, Will Ferrell's, like, always showing up.
Oh, so what's the buddy cop?
Will Ferrell will be the buddy cop.
So it's, who's the werewolf?
Taylor Lautner.
No.
No. The werewolf is,
I can't think of the guy's
the
name.
The wrestler Batista.
I don't know who that is.
No, let's not
do
him.
I was also thinking a Latino guy, though.
No. Luis, he's a guy that looks like a wrestler Batista.
What's his name? Luis something? He was in a bunch of movies. He's great. I won't. It's
not Luis Katz?
You guys don't understand how it works. You see, the problem with what you guys are saying right now is it's all too creative. You got to know with what works. Go with what works. The hottest werewolf in Hollywood around, Taylor Lautner. Now we want to hit, don't we? Get Lautner in this thing. I'm sorry. I have no creative.
Or the Farley brothers can make it, and Cam Neely can be the guy.
I just want to make hits.
You think the Farleys, like, in their casting just get lazy, and they're like, hey, Cam Neely's in my phone book. Let's call Cam.
They probably signed him for, like, a 60-movie deal. They're like, well,
Taylor Lautner? Or Cam Neely, the former hockey player.
I'm telling you, the longer I'm in Hollywood, the more I realize, like, it's not even the writing, it's just the idea. And if everyone's like, oh, we can make money off that, you could do anything. If you're you're like, no, he's a werewolf who learns how to surf. And they'd be like, boom, Disney movie, Taylor Lautner
learns to surf. Wait a second, what if he was surfing on a van?
Why would?
That's what Teen Wolf did.
Mm-hmm. Did he?
Yeah, it'd be fine.
He would surf on a van.
No one would care. These kids don't know.
In fact, Styles, before the movie, I think, Styles, like, even in non-werewolf form.
Here's the thing. We remake Teen Wolf, but everyone wears skinny jeans and is way sadder. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like Twilight meets Teen Wolf.
Hipster Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah, hipster.
No, I like this movie where the werewolf is a detective.
And really tries to solve his own murder.
You know what else
and
is
it's like, he's like burning the midnight oil. Why can't I find this monster?
I must have bled in this DNA sample again.
You know what's going to be great?
Whose hair is this?
There's going to be great where there's going to be a scene where he's brushing his teeth and he like spits out and he's like, why can't I find this monster? And then he looks into the mirror.
And it's him.
Oh, no.
I must keep the act up.
Man, how does it end?
Have you seen Gran Torino?
I think it doesn't end.
You know, when endings are so overrated.
Yeah.
I mean,
he should just go give himself up and go down in a hail of silver bullets.
By the way, that has fucked up every movie idea I've ever had, is the question, how does it end?
It ends,
man. Fuck you. What, so we're not going to make it?
Yeah.
All right, that's about it.
You guys don't want to be millionaires? Fine. Fuck you.
I guess I'll have to go to Universal.
I've been trying to do this as a bit, but mostly I just think it's a good idea. There's dramedy, which is a genre, because it's drama plus comedy, And they those are opposites, and they made him the same thing, which is I invented another mashup genre, which is Chiction Flickbuster, which is a chick flick plus action blockbuster.
Chiction Flickbuster.
And the first one I came up with is How to Die Hard in 10 Days, and at the end, Bruce Willis flies a helicopter into Kate Hudson.
Oh, I wish that really happened.
I know. That's
by helicopter, you mean his dick.
Well, no, that happens in the middle. That happens in the middle, then he does a collar.
You can't fly a helicopter and you dick, you read.
No, he names his dick the helicopter.
Kate Hudson.
Oh.
And he goes, wait,
and then he goes, I'm bringing this in for a miracle landing in the Hudson.
Is there going to be a Sullenberger cameo?
He is, yeah.
He's the stewardess.
He's the werewolf.
Is there also a werewolf in this one?
There is also a werewolf.
We're trying to sell tickets, so yeah. Werewolves
are so hot. Vampires, it's outrageous how much people like stuff with vampires.
Yeah. True Blood is another show that, have you seen True Blood at all?
I saw 5 minutes of it, decided not for me, but I made someone on the phone describe it to me just so I could hear how much I wouldn't like it.
Here's how I describe it. It's, if Dawson's Creek had vampires and...
I thought that's what it was about.
The same couple of actors, but they're adults.
Mm-hmm.
Is if James Vanderbeek
he's
was
off the map.
Vampire.
What happened to Vanderbeek?
I think he got married. I think he just doesn't care.
Maybe he can be the werewolf.
An American Vanderbeek in helicopters. Vanderbeek, if you're out there, we've got the role of a lifetime.
He's probably in Romania.
The last thing I saw him in was Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh yeah, he had like a cameo.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I think he's like in a perfect position. Like you landed a teen show. And he didn't have to act. He just had to be.
And then he did a couple big movies.
Right, and you're fine. And then you just hang it up, and you're like,
why don't we
IMDb
just cash
on
James
on
let me do it. I'll do it on my computer.
You just cash on the resume. We never let Bulger finish his crap.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, my car smells like shit, right? What happened was,
more so
my sister lives near a beach, and we have a thing in America called Memorial Day weekend. and so... She called me a week after Memorial Day weekend, like, oh my god, you have to have I forgot to take my trash out. Or I took my trash, but I didn't put it out for the guy that takes the trash man. So I went and got it, but she didn't tell me the amount of trash there was. And it was, like, covered in all kinds of maggots and shit. And I had no choice, I had to throw it in my car. And my car has smelled like a baby's asshole for... about 10 days now.
Why a
it's
baby?
Really
she's
terrible.
She's got a bunch of babies and there were diapers in it. And it seeped in, the baby
that's
shit
gross.
Seeped
it,
in
it literally smelled, and like, I you
and
know,
I tell you, it smells a lot better than it did.
Oh my, it smells like a dairy farm.
I almost
like, if you ever
up.
Drive by a dairy farm, that's
yeah,
the smell.
Yeah, the
that's coming out of Bulger's car. I don't know how that's possible, but it is.
Yeah. Well, here's what happened.
Whoa, front page of IMDb. Casey Affleck settles sexual harassment case.
Good for you, Casey.
Oh.
Way to go, buddy.
I didn't think you had it in you, buddy.
That's what you do when you're rich. You settle cases.
I know. I want to be rich enough to settle out of court.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What I want.
I'll just hit you with 10 G's
I'll
on
tell
the
you,
flip
you
side.
Know what the internet has ruined is settling out of court.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't...
Like, it's the idea is to hush it.
Right. It never... It doesn't
go away. Oh, is that Vanderbeek's headshot?
Yeah.
I like it.
Me too.
He's making a W for winner.
Yeah, he is.
It's a
you know
lot
what?
Of...
That was on the cover of GQ, I'm sure.
He looks kind of like a dark-haired Neil Patrick Harris. He's styling himself like.
Ah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He does look like if Neil Patrick Harris was like a bad guy.
Yeah.
In a movie.
He's beautiful.
Yeah,
Vanderbeek? Very handsome.
Yeah.
We'll put pictures up.
What's
on the
he
blog.
Last been in?
I don't know. I haven't got there yet.
Varsity Blues.
That was a big one.
You know what it is? There's
hanging
two,
up, though. He's it's probably great. He probably hung
there's
up.
There's two nice. Scenes in Varsity Blues that make it a bad movie.
Okay.
One of them is the, and it should have been the best scene of the movie, is when he tells his dad off that he doesn't want his life.
Doesn't want his life, yeah.
Poorly acted. But hold on, let's see this. The Forgotten TV series, I don't know what that is.
See, it's all shit.
The Mercy. Storm. A lot of these shows were short-lived.
One episode,
two episode.
But no, I think that's just what
that's
he was
the
in.
Point, though. I just that's probably just stuff he's just like, I'm not doing anything. One Tree Hill.
He was
Hill.
In an episode of Medium. An episode
Four episodes of One Tree Hill.
Taken in Broad Daylight. A
TV
movie. With
that's
Tony
not
Zappa.
A good sign ever
yep.
when you mm-hmm. do those.
He was in an episode of How I Met Your Mother. Whoa, we got to see him with Neil Patrick Harris.
My brother was also in an episode of How I Met
I wonder,
Your
does
mother.
It say what he played in it?
And how
I wonder
if
he played a relative.
My brother played the guy who sleeps with Laura Prepon in one episode.
Interesting. I haven't seen that episode.
Yeah, he's right off the... It's called Sorry, Bro. And he's the opening scene, my brother in bed with Laura Prepon.
Interesting. Cool. Well, way to go, Brian's
brother. Way to go, Pat and Mood.
How I Met Your Mother gets an 8.8.
Ooh. It's voted on by people.
Oh, people stink.
2.5 Men is probably...
Yeah, let's look up 2.5 Men.
It's probably... Just as a frame of reference for what the voting system looks like. It's probably...
The over-under, I would say, actually, is 8.5.
And you know what? They should update the name.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Are you going to say over, under, or...
I'm going to say over 8.5.
I'm saying at.
Over.
I say over as over. Well.
Push.
2.5 Men.
And it is...
Hold on.
I wonder what Seinfeld gets.
4.71.
We told the story last, or Joe told the story last week about how Arrested Development and Two and a Half Men screened for test audiences the same day, and everyone was like, Arrested Development, never. Oh, whoa, 8.7.
Oh!
We just caught
it. Slightly less. I think How I Met Your Mother, not bad, but I wouldn't say 8.8.
No.
Speaking of Arrested Development, whatchamacallit,
Will Arnett.
Will Arnett and the sister.
Portia de Rossi
have a show coming.
Isn't that the chick from the Noxzema commercials?
That is getting very good reviews.
No, that's not Portia de Rossi, is it? It's somebody else. It's another girl.
Well, whatever.
It's the same thing.
Women.
She's a girl.
I don't care about her unless
it's another woman.
Casey Affleck sexually sexed her.
Unless he threw a finger up in that ass.
Is that what he did?
I don't know. I assume. His fingers did something they weren't supposed to.
He put my finger in a butt.
Wait a second. Will Arnett is married to Amy Poehler. Maybe the funniest Hollywood marriage.
I think the Arnetts might have something to say about that.
Courteney Cox and Will?
Oh. The Arquettes.
Oh, man.
I think I did. You just said the people I said.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I got confused looking at my Hollywood phone book.
Are you talking about Courteney Cox and that other dude? Courteney Cox. Are you talking about Arquette?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they would have had an argument until, what is it, Six-Legged Freaks? That blew them out of the...
Eight-Legged Freaks.
They can't be up for any more funny Hollywood couples.
Oh, fuck you. That. There's a little thing called Scream 2.
And the guest appearance that I'm imagining David Arquette had on the TV show Friends. I don't know if that's real.
He probably played like some sort of like plumber or like a weird guy.
I was thinking like pizza showed up.
He played the guy that was fucking one of the actresses. Oh, you want me to be on the show? No.
Sorry.
I'm only going to be in my trailer.
I'm David Arquette. This career is on fire forever.
No matter what you say, world.
David Arquette
doesn't take no for an answer.
You know what they should have tried to have done? Although I hear their marriage is on the rocks.
Who?
The Arquettes.
I think the Arnetts are going strong because they kept their own last names.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I think she's still Amy Poehler.
Will Arnett's a pussy.
Oh, I don't want to give somebody my last name.
I don't either, man.
I don't want to put that on somebody. What if she does something embarrassing and then it's like I am?
Yeah.
Plus, I don't want to take ownership over a person. It's weird. I also don't ever want to...
Where you and I...
Plus, I'll feel way less bad when I cheat. We didn't even have the same name.
I don't ever want to get somebody pregnant. Not just now. Like, I don't want that now. Right. But never. Like, I think I want kids at some point, but I'm pretty sure I want to adopt.
No, but if they're the last name, you can explain that that's your baby.
I'll give a baby my last name.
No, you call her your baby.
Oh, gross. Yeah. But I don't want... I just don't want to...
We have different views of marriage.
I don't want to put a person inside another person.
Yeah.
And then... Just, I feel like it's so arrogant to be like, I'm going to destroy your body so I can name something after me.
Well, yeah, I mean, that you have a good point. Josh, you have a good point.
What's the wedding? Just like a party?
That's
a great idea.
It's a way better party.
Your view of, like, pregnancy... is a way more valid point if it's a rape. Like, please put a baby. And you're like, no, not unless you don't want it.
First of all, I never espoused that opinion, that second part.
No, I'm just saying, like you said, like, I don't want to, it's so arrogant to put another human being inside you, but it's like, but she wants that. She's
right,
like, please,
I don't,
do it.
I don't, ugh.
That's what this was made for. She does this move. Come on. I'm gesturing at my dick.
As if it were a vagina.
Like she was an Italian man.
Come on, put one up in here.
What accent is that?
Like she is Italian.
It's Romanian.
Saying, hey, it's a great cannoli.
I'm trying to connect to the Romanian listeners.
Listen, Bulgaria, branching out to Romania this week.
No, Bolivia.
Bolivia, that's in South America.
Taking care of the bees.
But yeah, I don't... Anyway, what were we talking about when I started rambling about pregnancy?
My car?
No, we're finished with that.
Still Bulger's car, but yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, so what I've done is the car, I almost threw up on the way to a gig Friday. So I was just driving my windows down, but it's September. I don't know what it is in Bolivia. But it's unseasonably warm here. Or no, cold. It's unseasonably cold. So it's becoming very chilly to have your windows down when you're driving.
Yes.
On the highway, because it's wind chill. So, chilly.
Yeah.
So I've decided I can't do that anymore. So I just bought two different carpet cleaners, and I just point them like guns and just like fucking attack them.
But he doesn't. Here's the best part of his carpet cleaner. His theory. He doesn't scrub with it. He just keeps spraying it. Yeah. All over. How I knew it was bad. When I walked up to Bulger's car, I looked in and I was like, wow, it's clean. Because I could see the back seats.
Yeah, that's never happened.
And I got in and it had that horrid smell where, like, when you see the clean car and you smell that horrendous smell, all you can think of is, yep, somebody threw up in your car.
Yeah.
Drunk. And they had to clean your car. And unfortunately, baby diaper.
I had a blender in there that Jono gave me a year and a half ago.
That you'd never taken out?
I had never taken out. Also, a George Foreman grill that Jono gave me. We moved out, and he was moving to the dorm, so he just gave me a bunch of shit. But I never took any of it out.
Mm-hmm.
So at least that got it out of the car. But the car is like a level 4 biohazard right now. I think
that's... You're finding the worst bright side.
Yeah.
It's like, at least I found a Foreman grill.
Yeah.
I got a Foreman grill out of it.
You already had the Foreman grill.
Yeah, but I'm going to use it now.
That poop smell's really kicking me into high gear.
I'll cook a steak in it, and that'll smell up the car of steak.
There's nothing you couldn't do in that car.
Could you look up...
You can do that.
Could I hook a Foreman grill up to a car jack?
Yes, but don't. Just don't.
I mean, yeah, you could, but what's the point?
You were about to say why. Don't. Just don't.
Because I know it's going to happen.
People told Neil Armstrong.
Nobody.
You know what's going to happen, Bull? You're going to have...
That's what people told Timothy
McVeigh. Actually, yeah, you're right. Somebody hired
The only thing keeping you...
He wasn't a freelance
actor. He knew exactly what he did.
He wasn't just a guy that was like, I'm a man with a dream.
There was a movie called Space Astronaut where a guy did that.
Wait, what? No, it's called The Astronaut Farmer.
Space Astronaut. That was made in 1951. Where does an astronaut go? Well, we have to explain where an astronaut goes.
Because there's no such thing
as space astronaut.
Listen.
Better than all those other boat astronauts.
The only reason Bulger ever goes home now is because he has to eat at some point. He'll just sleep in his car for weeks if you can hook up a Foreman grill. You just have, like, some taquito on there from 7-Eleven.
I'll shower up. I'll just drive under a waterfall with my sunroof.
It'd just be like a robot shell for him. Bulger's robot body
drives on stage. Oh, sorry. Are you staring at my exoskeleton?
Whoa! Good word.
Thank you.
I can't use these legs because I choose not to.
I poke the gas in the brake with sticks.
I'll be like one of the Transformers.
You just transform into
a bloated '99 Honda CRV.
Wait, your car's a '99? When's a '99?
Oh, yeah. Fucking '99.
Twins!
I can't wait till this case...
The Devil Without a Cause.
Is that what they came out?
I think it was. I don't know.
Great.
I have quoted that a lot of
the time. Wow, this is the third Kid Rock reference.
Might be the fourth.
Maybe.
I wasn't a cowboy today. I'd be lying if I didn't.
I thought about that song either today or yesterday. I don't remember why.
Hey, it's 1998, yo. Oh, so it came out in 98. Then he recorded in 98. It came out in 99. Kid, it's going to be released in 99. Don't worry.
Not in my life.
People will remember what 98 was.
Never forget 98. That's Kid Rock's mission. He just doesn't want people to forget 1998. I've been back at preschool, teaching preschool, and having a job is a lot of work, and I don't really like it.
Yeah.
But I like the job that I do. Like, it's fun while I'm there, and I like the kids, and I like the families, and I like the teachers, and it's a lot of time that I have to be there, but people say adorable things to me all the time, little people, and,
the little
children,
people.
Not dwarves.
Not midgets?
Yeah, not midgets, and...
Or what Barbara Streisand calls her workers.
The little people. The people that I'm going to remember when I'm famous. They say really nice things to me.
What Barbara Streisand... His nose calls the rest
other
of her body.
Noses.
To little people.
But I had some great... Like, a kid, a four-year-old is writing jokes for me. Like, he over the summer, I wasn't there this summer, and he wasn't there this summer, and he came back the first day. We had the same first day back.
Was it, like, BP stuff?
No, it wasn't topical. It was evergreen. No. And
it was topical.
He was like, Josh, I have some jokes for you. And I was like, all right, cool. And he was like, the first one was, he goes, what do a dog and a stop sign have in common? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, pause! And that's a pretty good pun for being four.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What are you, Mike Kaplan?
Yeah, he's, come up, he's like that? A baby Mike Kaplan. And then he goes,
what is a stop sign and a dog?
But then he goes, here's my other one. What kind of leaf makes you happy? And I was like, I don't know. And he goes, relief! And I'm like, you're a goddamn genius, 4-year-old.
He's add a guitar to this kid, you got a college.
He's
act.
Gonna yeah, he's gonna crush it, college. He's the next Bo Burnham. And but then today, we were just like, but he's also like, so that's funny for like a little kid, but he's also like, he was eating lunch today and he goes, Josh, here are two things we have in common. We both love jokes. We both hate tomatoes. I was like, first of all, how did you know that about me?
I like that you two should just form your own table, like a cool kid table.
We should. There is one small table in my classroom.
Everybody comes down, you should just
sing. He's my co-writer.
We're a writing team. We're called Old and Cute.
He just punches up stuff.
I'm sure you don't get him in the comedy scene and get him hooked on all kinds of stuff.
Like what?
Like drinks and drugs.
Vault waitresses.
I would think less of you if you ruined this kid's life.
Oh, I'm just ruining it with my teaching, not with comedy.
Oh, okay.
Nah, just yeah.
What if you're teaching long-term him? You should teach him joke structure.
He knows joke. Well, his mom came in the end of the day where she to pick him up, like moms do at the end of the day. The day that he told me those jokes, and I was like, oh, your son told me all these jokes. And she goes, you know what's crazy? He wrote those puns. I just structured them as jokes. So he was all summer writing jokes to tell me when he came back to school.
Oh, how many did he tell you? Only two?
Just two.
Oh, my God. You know how many terrible ones he has?
I immediately forgot.
He's got a really bad ratio. He's got
I forgot ones. All of my teachers when I was young really quick.
This kid, the other teachers were like, did you remember us when... over the summer when you were out? And he was like, actually, I kind of forgot. And then they go, well, did you remember Josh? And he goes, I always remember Josh.
Josh is a special
teacher. I'm like his 9/11.
Never forget Josh Gondelman.
That's true. That's why I should have a t-shirt where a plane flies forget into Josh me. Yeah, that's what I've
done. That'd be a good t-shirt, actually. Never forget 9/11 or Josh Gondelman.
Or both, if you have time.
And or.
And or Josh Gondelman.
Never forget Josh Gondelman and or 9/11.
Perfect.
That I just restructured it like that kid's mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're the kid's mom. And Josh is the kid.
I'm a kid. You're my mom. You would be the worst my mom of all time.
I wouldn't be a good mom.
No. Lots of reasons.
First of all, the car seat would smell.
Yes, that's a bad one. You don't want a kid puking just from the smell of your car.
And you being relieved because it smells better. Yeah. Now it's a discernible smell. You're like, I know what that is. That's puke. I'm glad that's here.
There's no puke involved. Well, maybe they puked in the trash barrel.
We could. Kids puke.
My nephew.
I'm saying it would be better if it were puke. Because then you'd be like, I know what that is. Right now you're just like, what the fuck?
It always smells less bad to you. Because you know what the smell is. Because
I live in it.
Right. You're familiar with it. It's your bad smell. You own that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like George Carlin singing, my stuff, he said.
My smell.
This is my smell. My terrible thing. You notice how your smell is stuff, and the other guy's smell is a bad smell?
All we want is a place for a smell. Why am I doing Gilbert Gottfried? But still,
I know.
Seamlessly.
Yeah. George Carlin at the end could have played Moe.
The Simpsons. Yeah. I think they already had a guy.
Fuck you, I'm getting in the plane.
I don't think that was a Mo line.
That's a George Carlin.
Ah.
I think Todd Glass says it on his first Comedy Central special.
Does he?
It's like, as all comedians, we love George Carlin. But there's some times where he gets too into it. Like, can you get on the plane? Fuck you, I'm getting in the plane. All right, George. Get in the plane.
Todd Glass, funny guy. Todd Glass, we know you're listening. You're probably in Bulgaria.
Mm-hmm. Bolivia. Or Botswana.
The Bolivia Comedy Festival. That's where we're going to start.
The BCF.
Oh, we'll get sued.
Oh, man. So, Brian is living in Los Angeles now. How's Los Angeles going?
I love it. No snow. It's beautiful. Way more terrible comedians.
Really? Tell us about how they're terrible out there.
There's just a ton. There's
way more good comedians.
Yeah, there is, but they're always on the road, or they're at the Improv, which, I mean, if you go to the Improv, or the Laugh Factory,
UCB.
Or the store, yeah, UCB, you see some good ones, but the problem is there's, every actor gets told by their manager to do stand-up because it helps them audition.
Yeah.
Because apparently stand-ups, that's why stand-ups get so many opportunities that they never capitalize on, because they're good at auditioning, terrible at
acting.
Yeah, terrible at doing everything after that.
I'm terrible at both things.
So you're fine. But, like, literally, you just see, it's just the same people. Like, if you go to, like, you drop into, like, some kind of open mic-y show just to try to do a spot or whatever before you go to wherever else. It's just nothing but the same actors just hammering on, like, the, so I know what you're thinking, you look a lot like these people. It's like, shut up, no, you don't look like any of the people. I don't care about your...
What people?
Oh, it's like the combination of, who's funny? Tony Danza and
Ryan
Whoopi
Seacrest.
Goldberg. Yeah, I don't know. I know what you're thinking.
Tony Danza. Actually, it was a guy.
That would be
I look like a collabo kid.
Of Tony Danza and Whoopi Goldberg.
If somebody said that I do look like those two people, I would laugh my ass off. But I would have already been laughing.
And if you really looked like those two people combined, you would have to mention
Do we have anybody that does Photoshop?
We'll find a guy.
Start an iPhone app called Danza Me. It shows you what your kids would look like with Tony Danza.
I guess there was
or
like a
Whoopi Me.
Or what about
Whoopi Danza Me?
What your kids would look like if they were had by Tony Danza and Whoopi Goldberg?
Or what you would look like if your parents were Whoopi and Tony.
My brother worked at a radio station for UMass.
Yeah.
In like the early 90s. And I guess it was a huge parody that they would play all the time. Of a Tiny Dancer.
Called Tony Danza.
There we go. Hold me closer, Tony Danza. Which I think is cute.
It is cute.
Hey, I like that. Not as funny as if you looked like Whoopi Goldberg.
No way. I was talking with someone the other day. Maybe you guys have these, or maybe this will fall flat. We were talking about songs that aren't necessarily bad, but you just never want to hear them.
Uh-huh.
Like, for me, it's Piano Man. Not a terrible song.
I want everything that's played on WVCN.
That doesn't even exist anymore, that radio station.
Good.
Mission accomplished.
Letter writing campaign came to fruition.
Almost everything on Blood Sugar Sex Magik by the Chili Peppers.
Okay, that's a perfect choice. Under the Bridge is another great choice.
Oh my god. It's not that good.
But it's not that bad, but you just don't want to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any, Brian?
Yeah, that song, Walking on Broken Glass.
You know, I kind of always want to hear that song.
Nothing Else Matters by Metallica.
Mm-hmm. You know what it was? When I was in fifth grade, that song we used to play on the bus driver's radio all the time, and I didn't know what they were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to enrage me. Like, I get weird things. Like, I hate Jose Canseco simply because when I was little, I used to thought his name was Josie Canseco. And I was like, this guy's got a girl's name! And I'd throw his card away, and I'd be like, screw him!
Wait, so this is totally your fault, this situation.
Jose Canseco
is my fault. There are so many reasons to hate him, and it's one that you invented.
It's because Jose Canseco literally would become a wonderful character.
I get his card.
He's like in celebrity boxing.
Really?
All kinds of
writing books.
Who did he fight? He fought, He fought, like, Manute Bol or
something. I'd fight Manute Bol now.
He's dead.
No, who'd he fight?
I'd win
he
the shit.
He fought some other, like,
his cousin,
sports guy.
Manute Bol's cousin played Division III basketball at Brandeis while I was there.
Really?
Yeah.
How tall was he?
6'9".
Wow.
What a shrimp.
And he only played Division III?
Yeah, he was real skinny.
He must
like,
have been
he was
really
not
terrible, too.
He wasn't bad, but he wasn't. I mean, the team wasn't. They were pretty good my year. They made it to somewhere in the D3 tournament.
Yeah.
But maybe he was just smart, guys. And didn't. But not smart enough for Harvard.
And apparently Jewish.
Mm-hmm. Not Jewish. You didn't have to be Jewish to go to Brandeis.
You have to be
really
not, you have to be not, I mean, you can be decent at basketball at 6'9", but you have to be not good to be 6'9 and be D3, even if you're really light. Because D3
you
center.
You play D3, right?
Yeah, I play D3. And they, like, I could sub in at center at 6'4 and be fine. And literally, like, in high school, I was, a shooting guard. I went down. I was the person in basketball history to go from shooting guard to, like, power forward by taking the leap from high school to college. Like, that should never happen.
Yeah.
Like, I should have gone from shooting guard to point guard and then struggled because my ball handling wasn't good. I just couldn't post up. They're like, why do you want to shoot threes? I'm like, because that's all I do.
You're the Sam Perkins.
Yeah, I don't want to.
I almost said Sam Elliott.
You're the Antoine Walker.
Ugh.
You're bad with money.
I was Euro, guys. I was a very European player.
Bulgaria. Brian Mood is your kind of guy.
For some reason, I keep calling you Bolivia.
If I had another 6 inches, I would have been a great Bulgarian shooting guard.
Would anybody like a Sam Adams lager?
I would.
I don't know how many we have left.
No.
Don't you have a 40 on there?
Go get what you get. We have glasses, too, in
the
cabinets.
I got 40.
Go get that.
Get it.
And the other beer.
And there's four here. So by math...
There's two left.
I gave one to Audrey.
Oh, there's one left.
Audrey.
Audrey's my roommate. She likes beer.
One left and a 40.
One left and a 40.
Let's do it. Brian and I will keep this going. Dan will take his beer break. This happens every week. Dan leaves to get
beer. Yeah, beer break.
One week I listened to it. Like, I was gone.
You guys
for, like,
should get someone to... You guys should
really
get someone
drunk
to sponsor the beer.
No, it was another week.
Oh, we
pretend you guys should get someone to sponsor, like Remington's beer break with Dan Bolger.
We've thought about trying to get sponsors, and we just haven't done it.
Now we'll go back to LA.
Oh yeah,
I like it a lot. I think it's great. What I do like about it is like this: Boston was the perfect city to come to before going there.
How come?
Like, because this city is fucking great.
Yeah,
for comedy. It's really great. Like the quality of shows you get here is really unmatched when you think about it overall. I mean, and you have the opportunity to get up a lot of times.
Yeah.
And so the thing about it is that if you end up rising to the top 10% here, mm-hmm, in young comics,
yeah,
like you're already in the top 10% in another city.
Sure.
Like, so you go to LA and you get good at doing Grandma's Basement, you'll be fine everywhere, because that's...
Grandma's Basement is a train wrecky great, yeah, open mic at the Howard Johnson.
Or even, you know what? Sally O'Brien's too. Sally O'Brien's great show. But that's the show that you need to get good at to move to Los Angeles, because that's the show you get initially. And granted, like I've been fortunate enough, like I just got passed by the Improv as a regular.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. It's so cool. So I got my first like legit paid spot from them.
What was it?
$8.
I did one of those when I was out there. I did
nice.
Eight, and then I did, I was on two nights in a row, fortunately, and I did an 8 and then a 13 because it was a Friday night.
Yeah, so I did. But see, the thing about the Improv is, like, I'd done the Hollywood Improv, like, 4 times on all these, like, weird independent, mm-hmm, book shows, and none of those matter. The only one that mattered was the one where they handed me $8 and had me fill out a W-2.
Yep.
And I was like, this is insane.
I also...
Guys.
What's up? Hey, Dan.
We're out of Sam Adams.
Oh, no. Brian was just telling us how he got passed at the Hollywood Improv.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
For sure.
Nice.
Who are some of your favorite people to watch in L.A.
Get
to see?
Bill Burr.
Oh, I saw him when I was out there. He was so good.
Bill is ridiculous. Bill Burr is great. Louis C.K., I just saw him. He's been in L.A. a lot lately, just dropping into all sorts of random shows, probably because of his show. Louis, I don't know where they're taping it always.
They must be filming another season.
Yeah, they got picked up.
They're filming something. So he's in L.A. a lot, and he's phenomenal.
He's so good.
Well, they filmed that in New York.
Yeah, it's got to be, because it's all the Carolines and the Cellar.
Maybe he's doing a movie film.
Maybe.
There's a lot of other guys that, like I enjoy watching Kinane and T.J. Miller Bronger.
T.J. Miller's
I think
good
they're
people.
All great. Yeah, I mean, they're all, like, the thing about them is it's nice to see people when they're, like, really hitting their prime.
Yeah.
Like, you watch, and comfortable. Because a lot of people, like T.J. Miller's been funny for a while, but I don't think he's been comfortable being exactly who he wants to be on stage until just recently. Like, now, it's
just
really funny.
I just hung out with Mike Kaplan, who he mentioned, who loves puns, in New York, and he has a joke that I'm going to share on this podcast. Total credit to Mike Kaplan, which I love so much. I think they should come out with the movie Groundhog Day 2, but it's just Groundhog Day 1. Which I love so much. And I gave him the tag, which I probably won't work. They should call it Groundhog Day 2, Groundhogger.
Groundhoggier.
Groundhoggier.
This time it's more... No, this time it's Groundhoggy.
Groundhog.
Just call it the Squeakquel. Because it's funny.
That is funny.
Wasn't there another movie called the Squeakquel?
Yeah, that one too.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I think you can call any number 2 the Squeakquel, and I'll still laugh and go to it.
Hold up, and also, yeah.
The Groundhog's right.
Hold up, the Chipmunk Squeak?
Yeah.
They actually talk, but I mean, the Groundhog and Groundhog Day, he kind of grunts, I guess, in the movie.
Wait, does he?
He like, groundhog.
I thought that was a groundhog from Caddyshack.
When he finally
steals. I think that's an underrated movie.
When he finally,
it's great.
Oh, Groundhog Day?
It's so
phenomenal.
Good.
Phenomenal.
So
good.
But like, I think it had its run on TV, and it's not a...
It should be on loop. Yeah. There should be a Groundhog Day channel.
That movie and What About Bob is very underrated.
I haven't seen that in so long.
Oh, my. Those movies are both... Those early Bill Murray movies, when he was just killing it.
Those are not early Bill Murray.
Well, I'm just saying like that
mid-level
period.
Bill Murray.
Yeah, like post-Ghostbusters.
And
like all those comedies.
That's right before Larger Than Life.
Yeah, before he tried to yell artsy and shit. Before he started, like...
No. Because he went artsy after a very bad period.
Yeah,
he
had, Operation
like,
Dumbo Drop?
Like, Operation Dumbo Drop.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was one where he's training an elephant how to live.
Did you guys read...
Oh, yeah.
He made two elephant movies.
That is a big career problem.
Did you guys...
Unless you're an elephant.
If you wrote a Bill Murray biography, there would be a chapter called The Elephant Years. Where it was like...
The pachyderm decade.
What the fuck happened here?
Unless you're an elephant.
That'd be like
if you do two movies
like,
with an elephant.
You know, Kiss has like the non-makeup years.
Yeah,
Murray has the elephant years.
Yeah.
Did you guys read that article in? I think it was in GQ or Maximum with Bill Murray.
Yeah,
where he talks about why he took Garfield because he thought it was written by a different Cohen.
No.
Yeah, he literally. Well, you know how Bill Murray works, right? He has a 1-800 number. You can call. Anyone can call. He has no agent.
What?
This is a real thing.
This is not true.
I swear to God, look it up. Bill Murray has a 1-800 number. He has no agent, right? No manager. He just has an entertainment lawyer. And he has a 1-800 number where you can call and leave him a voicemail. And like once every couple days, he'll sit down and listen to all the voicemails. And he'll just like, literally, if you don't get him within the first 10 seconds, he'll just delete you. But if he thinks you're interesting, he'll literally call you back. And so...
Dan?
The reason, yeah.
Dream guest on the podcast.
The reason.
Not podcast. He's our werewolf.
Yeah, if you call him, that's how he, in the article, he says that he thought, he heard the Garfield thing, thought it was one of the Coen brothers. It was a different Coen. And so he blindly was like, those guys make great movies. And like.
Wait, why did he think they were making Garfield?
He didn't really know what it was.
Hey, we just made No Country for Old Men, and now we're doing Garfield.
Yeah, so he got it.
Something for the people.
Someone asked him, he's like, he did it for 50 grand up front, and he was like, I don't even leave my driveway for 50 grand. I thought it was a different Coen, and I just wanted to do a good movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Coen Brothers, you're going to get Bill Murray in a flick.
Well, look, Bill Murray won't leave his driveway for 50 grand.
Yeah, he said he won't leave his driveway for 50 grand.
He has so much uncollected
mail.
What
if he's going out to dinner or something?
You better have some cheddar on you, motherfucker.
You got to give him money?
You got to pay for a dinner that's worth more than 50 grand.
Bill Murray's not buying.
Man, the Coen Brothers.
We had an extensive Bill Murray.
We've had a lot of Bill Murray talk in this podcast.
As you should.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? It's great. We're really going to do it. But I think the Coen brothers should have him in a movie. Why would they not?
It's surprising he isn't one of their guys.
Yeah.
He does, like, in the article...
Woody Harrelson was so good in No Country.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah. In the article...
Woody Harrelson, I think, is a really good dramatic actor, though.
Mm.
Well, Murray is, too, actually.
Yeah, he is.
In the article, he was saying that in the interview that he literally doesn't care anymore. Like, if the idea intrigues him. So if you have an idea that he's like, I like that. Like, he's doing, like, an indie film for a friend of his nephew who, you know, like, that he loved the idea and he liked the script. He's like one of those guys, he has, like absolutely...
Well, he's got his money.
Which is the greatest thing.
I talked about this have you guys seen the show Breaking Bad?
No.
Nope.
You guys should see Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Andy, go see Breaking Bad. No, don't go see it. Get it. And then
Make it come to you.
Bring it to you.
Draw it in.
The guy Bryan Cranston,
mm-hmm.
who's the star of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really dark, edgy show. But he was the dad from Malcolm in the Middle.
Right?
But he made so much money from that. And, like, one other project he had that, like, made a lot of money. That he's like, I'm only going to do things that I really want to do.
Right.
Or I'll do nothing.
What stinks about comedy is there are only 5 comedians who get to do that.
Right.
Well, there's only really, like, so many people.
You know what's amazing
about that?
This is, like, one of the greatest Hollywood stories I have so far. As far as, like, once you're in, you know, the business perspective. But it's about Neil Brennan, which, like, Neil Brennan's
sure.
a nice... He's always been nice to me.
Okay.
I've heard he's an asshole to some people. But it was on a Wednesday at the Hollywood Improv, which is the Comedy Juice show at 10 o'clock, which now has become, like, if you were there on a Wednesday, you know, like, it's like the industry...
Interesting.
It's just like the big show. Everyone goes to the industry, all go to the show because it's always sold out, the mm-hmm. Comedy Juice show. They just paper it.
I think I've done that one.
Yeah, it's great. And everybody rips it, and they always have just nothing but amazing comedians. And that's the show that, like, if Dane's going to drop into one,
yep.
or Chappelle's going to drop into a show, or even Mencia, if anyone's going to drop into a show, Chris Rock, it's going to be the Wednesday night 10 o'clock show at the Improv because it's always slammed. There's always just all those industry manager, agent folks, like a miniature Montreal in the bar. And I was talking to somebody And then talking to a manager at New Wave.
Yep.
Like one of their lower-level managers at New Wave. And Neil Brennan comes walking by, and she goes, "Oh, hey, Neil." And Neil just stops, and he goes, "You know there's a show going on in there, right? Like, you understand there are people that are funny on stage in your industry in that room, just through that door. You understand that, right?" And she's like, yeah. And he's like, "I just wanted to check." And then walked into the showroom because he was up like a comic. Now, he doesn't want her to watch him.
No.
He was just making a point, which is great because Neil Brennan literally has that money.
He doesn't.
He has that money. He has that go fuck yourself money.
Yeah.
So
he's
like
co-creator of Chappelle's Show,
yeah,
right?
All these like people kissing ass in the bar at the improv. All he's like, oh hey Neil, good to see you. And he's like, literally like, no, it's not good to see you. There's people in there, and like I literally at the time, like I think like I'm trying to remember who was on stage, but I think it was like somebody young, like Adam Ray.
Okay,
if you know Adam at all,
I know of him.
Yeah, so he's on stage, and he's someone that like she should be watching.
Yeah.
But I don't know why Adam would get, or Neil Brennan would be mad at that. There's people that suck at their job and everything.
No, right. It's just more that they're, it's just that attitude that, like, once you're out there long enough, you'll see that, like, a lot of those industry people, agents, manager folk, all you ever see them doing is drinking and talking.
Yeah,
to the comics.
No, they're great.
That's it. No, they're fun. They're fun to hang out.
So they're doing exactly what I like to do?
They're fun to hang out with, but the point that he was making was she was, like, kind of trying to kiss his ass. Like, oh Neil, how are you doing? And he's, like, just basically, like, nah, get in there. Go watch. Go do your job right now. Like, I don't need. Which is, like, as a young comic, I'm, like, yeah, go in there. Because that's the problem is every time I'm on stage in there, you're out here.
Talking to the
talking to Neil Brennan. So get in there and watch me and then maybe, you know, give me a sitcom. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Let's all be millionaires. Why not?
Give me a sitcom. Do they still have those?
Sitcoms?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. 2 and a Half Men.
Wonderful. Oh, yeah. We looked it up earlier.
How I Met Your Mother.
Which should be 2¾ men at this point.
Because that
kid
is
pretty
giant.
Old.
Yeah.
Oh, so you get
actually,
to be a big boy?
The half
he's
man
a teenager.
Is Charlie
I've never
Sheen
seen an
on the inside.
Oh, it's his soul?
Yeah. He only has half
his soul. His heart?
That's not the kid.
It's going to be weird because as the kid gets older, he's going to look less like them.
Oh, he looks less. He doesn't look any. Like, he's supposed to be the skinny freak guy's kid, right?
Yeah.
He's like.
Yeah, he's
giant. Like an athlete. He's already bigger, which I think is probably funny.
Here's what I'm looking forward to, is when he gets old, they have to adopt a kid to keep the show relevant, and then they can change the name of the show to Three Men and a Baby the Show.
Mm. Yeah. Three Men and
me
a
and
Black
Joe
Baby.
Me and Joe List wanted to rewrite Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah?
Yeah. For modern.
With time. A werewolf?
No, now I just want to make a movie with a werewolf.
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, be our werewolf.
1-800-BILL-MURRAY.
Solve your own crimes.
Does that fit the phone? No, that's nowhere near.
We should call Bill Murray. Do you want to solve your own wolf murder?
Google it right now. Just over that. Do you want to solve your own werewolf murder?
I think we'd have him. What can Bill Murray like more than that? What is there else?
Like genuinely trying to solve your own werewolf murder?
Listen, Bill Murray.
And then you have to throw the rest of the detectives off your own trail.
Yeah. Also, it's going to become like that movie,
Backdraft.
No.
The fireman movie?
Yeah.
What? The guy was setting the fires.
Like in the Bourne movies, like the main guy's trying to lead everybody the wrong way, kind of.
Is he?
Sort of, like they're trying to keep them off their own scent.
You should Google Bill Murray's hotline
Much like
number.
Bill
Let's
Murray
give it out right now.
I will. Guys, if you have an idea for Bill Murray,
I'm telling you. He literally says it's just a 1-800 number you got to call. I hope it's like someone has it posted online. But
Bill Murray, 800.
I bet they
number.
Nobody wouldn't be calling.
I just think that's so funny. That
Let's
just,
see if I can do this loud enough to get a good shoot.
April 12th, 2010 on Yahoo Questions. What is Bill Murray's toll-free phone number? So Bill Murray doesn't have an agent, hasn't had one for 10 years, but instead he used voicemail to receive pitches for ideas. I have a project I'd like to involve him in, but I've been having trouble finding his number. Can anyone help? And then there's just his manager's number. And,
yeah, he's got a fucking man. There's no way he doesn't.
He's got, like, a business manager. I don't think he's got, like, a manager. Also, I heard Leonardo DiCaprio doesn't. He has a friend who's a lawyer who also does all his managing and, like, agent work. When you're that big, like, nobody, it's not that
hard.
Yeah,
I don't think when you're at Leo.
It's like, sorry, you go.
I don't think when you're at Leonardo DiCaprio's number, like, people aren't sitting down with Leo, like, I think we're going to try to get you some.
Can you read for this? Can you put yourself on tape for this audition?
It's like LeBron James. It doesn't They're just going to be like, how much money do you have?
Yeah.
Okay, give me that much.
Yeah.
What's the maximum amount you can give me for this?
Yeah, yeah. That's, bro, like, the guy, he's not the guy that managed, he's like the, I'm the, like, with a younger guy, but the guy that signed me to the place I'm with, he's that Dana Gould.
Yeah.
And he's not, he left them eventually because he was writing with The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
so
no
eventually
point.
He's like, well, I'm just going to keep renewing every year with The Simpsons, so, like, the, honestly, like, that could probably get this, but after 6 years, like, it's just not the point anymore.
Yeah, like,
right. To give out whatever percentage to people
that aren't Frank Caliendo, who used to be with New Wave, signed his 10-year deal in Vegas, and then didn't need New Wave.
Yeah.
So he dropped him. I gave him, like, a... I mean, they brokered the deal, so he gets
a parting thing or whatever.
You get a structured, you know, bonus or whatever, and then also, like, the agreement that, hey, if you need management or whatever, you'll come back, but... Yeah, if you're on a 10-year structured deal, who cares?
Yeah, industry talk.
Come on!
Canoe.
That's our
catchphrase. I manage Josh Gondelman, so
that's true.
If any of you...
And I manage...
And I have a 1-800 number.
He gets 10% of $500 bi-weekly.
That's my big thing, is that's my self-deprecating thing that I say to everybody, that really arrogantly, is I go, do you guys have any idea who I am? I make tens of dollars in show business every week. Sometimes eight tens of dollars.
I have a four-figure salary. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yearly, guys.
Yearly.
And in Bulgaria, I'm making it rain. That's what's great.
I want to make it rain so bad, like in a bookstore.
Sounds so nerdy. Bookstore.
That's
start flipping ones at the counter.
Just like I'm like the Pac-Man Jones of people who are literate.
I never saw that video of him like. Making it rain.
God, he's so great. Making it rain is the best thing
that's
ever happened.
I want the Celtics to sign Pac-Man Jones. As like a 12th man.
Just to come out and foul somebody when you, like they bring it in.
Foul someone with a gun.
Literally, all you need is that like, hey, there's like 30 seconds left and you're just in a foul situation and it's game six. It's going to go to game seven. You just want to rile the crowd up.
Yeah.
He just comes in, just takes someone off their feet.
Phil Simmons said that. Like, he must be the... Like, he offered me, like, the 12th man for free on the Heat.
Yeah.
Just if I can chronicle it.
And who did?
Just hang out.
Bill Simmons, the ESPN writer.
That's funny.
Remember when we were watching Game 7 of the NBA Finals? And
in Nebraska.
Yeah. And we were with Miss Pat, who's a comedian.
Kobe's a faggot!
Yeah, she just kept calling Kobe Bryant a faggot.
Miss it, faggot!
It was great. We were in a bar, and she's just screaming faggot.
She was right a lot. She missed a lot.
She was screaming... In a bar in Nebraska, fat.
I wonder if you
woman.
Guys went to the same bar I went to watch.
Yeah, it was at Divots, the conference center. And there was a bar. It was like weirdly themed. There was beach volleyball outside it.
Oh, was there like a. Oh.
It was attached to
the. That's
venue.
Where like the late show was.
Yeah.
That's not where we were. We were at this great place with like table hockey.
Oh, we didn't get any table hockey.
Well, the thing about it is that we were on the same show.
Or ski ball.
Yeah.
Is it ski ball? What do you call it? Where it's just like a sandy table. And you throw, like, a...
Oh, a shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard. Yeah, shuffleboard's like a wood table with sand sprinkled on it.
Really?
And you throw, like, pucks.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It was a shuffleboard, but it was just me and Micah Sherman, like, hugging each other. At one point, Garnett made, like, a crazy shot, and I cross-body blocked him.
Oh, man.
Like, just...
I was
parallel to the ground, and Micah just caught me. He didn't even know I was coming.
It was game
but
six.
But nobody else at the bar was even somewhat interested.
Dan... And Brian and I went to this comedy festival, the Great American Comedy Festival in Nebraska, which was super fun. And Dan did it, what, 2 years ago?
Oh, wait.
So we were both there while the Celtics were in the finals, the NBA finals. But Brian and I got to see them lose crushingly in game seven. And Dan got to see them destroy the Lakers in game six.
Yeah. It was a downer, too, because, like, what I found
maybe
strange.
I should move to Nebraska and the Celtics would never lose.
You know what I hate? Rain. You know what I hate about places like Nebraska is that nobody, like, anywhere with, like, no hometown allegiance. Is that the teams they like are just the good teams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, Lakers, I was jogging in Norfolk, like, before the show, and they were like...
Nerd.
Yeah, they were, shut up. Just trying to keep it together.
He was making it rain. Yeah. Just jogging.
That's how Pac-Man Jones runs.
Listen,
just
Dan,
runs and throws.
Some people can't rely on punchlines. I have to rely on sex appeal. Pure sex appeal. So, anyways, so I'm running, and, like, every other house has a fucking Lakers flag. On it, and we go to the bar that night, and people are rooting for the Lakers, and I was enraged, and because I was like, you know what, at least I'll be, because I just come from L.A., and one night, I was like, ah, fuck Kobe, he's a rapist, and some guy goes, dude, sexual assault, bro.
No!
Sexual assault.
What a real
dick. And he goes, get it right if you're going to talk shit. And I was like, yeah, sorry.
You know how talking right, shit what works.
I was like, it's not about getting it right. Facts. It's about making you
what
cry.
What is this? PTI? Yeah, open the mailbag later. All right. But it's like, first of all, that doesn't make him a good person. Like,
right.
All right, sexual assault, I'm sorry. So he still raped her. It's like, that is
true. Oh, yeah, right. I'm sorry, you've never heard of pleading down.
Right. You've never heard of settling out of court.
Like, we would have never been able to start the American Revolution if our cry was, like, taxation with representation.
Is that right?
Even though the fact that you're quartering troops here is completely justified that we should give you some.
Right.
Look I agree up the facts.
Point.
Good,
so, we go
good to, quote, Dan.
Yeah, man. Why'd you get all be, why'd you get all
this? I got all historical on you.
It's true.
Canoe.
So, we go to Nebraska. And there was actually, like, me, Josh, and Cy Amundsen were, like, the only
Cy
people.
Cy Amundsen's the best.
We were going crazy because I hate the fucking Lakers. I hate them. I only hate the Heat more now. But I hate the
yeah.
Lakers.
I don't hate the Heat.
Oh, what? My God. I hate them so much. Heat.
They're like a bad guy wrestler.
I want them never to win. How can you not
like,
hate the Heat?
When the refs are going to, like, look away, the Heat are going to be, like, throwing sand in people's
hit
eyes.
Hit them with a chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing things like dunking over people.
They're going to have like a manager, like their coach is going to be like a manager, and decide to like pulls the rope down.
I just can't.
Oh, I didn't see anything.
I never, you know what's funny? I never thought there'd be, in my lifetime, there'd be a situation where in the finals I would root for the Lakers, and it is if the fucking Heat make the finals against the Lakers.
Yeah.
I hate the Heat. I want them to lose every fucking game.
First of all, I still think the Lakers are a better team.
Agreed.
I think especially, overall. But like,
actually, I don't know. Can you be a better team?
I think I should be an assistant coach on the Lakers this year. What I would do is I would never let Andrew Bynum play until the finals.
Yep.
Because he gets hurt. Yeah. But if the Lakers have Bynum and Gasol going, there's no answer for that. Like, they got 14 blocks against the Celtics in the game.
Yeah. That's
not I just can't stand it, man. I just can't stand that. If you're going to go build a super dynasty, go build it in a shitty city that has nothing. Go to Cleveland. Go, if you guys are the three best friends, oh, we're so, this is great. Go to Cleveland. Build
or
it
Toronto.
There. Yeah, Toronto. Cleveland,
hey,
Toronto.
Let me tell
so
you how that conversation
city.
Went.
Is there a beach?
You'd be LeBron James.
Okay.
All
right. Can I be Bosch?
Try to convince me to come.
Oh, I'm LeBron James?
I'm Dwayne
Wade.
Wade?
Okay. Brian, you're Chris Bosch. You get the second phone call, obviously.
All right.
Bring, bring, bring. Old school telephone. Bring.
Hello.
Oh, Dwayne, your voices crack me up.
Sorry, I'm actually Asian.
I'm Drain Raid.
Well, it's me, LeBron. And I'm...
Are you fucking with me?
No, it's me, really, LeBron.
You're not Asian.
No, I'm not Asian. Neither are you.
Alright, I'm just messing with you.
Dwayne.
They suck, right? Asians suck. Yao Ming, it looked like it was going to work out. It didn't work.
Oh my god, he's so tall and goofy looking. He's so tall and goofy.
Oh, my foot.
He's like Sean Bradley. Nah. Anyway, I was thinking, well, you know,
I'm skinny, but still can't see my penis. Even though I'm too tall.
You know how a couple years ago when we were all playing the World Basketball thing that we did, we promised, you, me, and Chris, all promised we'd play for the same team when we were all up for free agency.
Mm.
I was thinking you guys should come to Cleveland. My mom makes great meatballs, and she lives really close.
Reno's freaking in the English. Click.
Dwayne? So that's how that would have gone.
Yeah.
And then they wouldn't even have fucking answered Chris Bosh's phone call.
They're racist.
Dwayne Wade didn't even know Chris Bosh was trying to sign.
That's funny.
I just think it's shitty. I just think it sucks. Like, it's Miami. People already like being in Miami. The team doesn't
matter. Well, it goes from October. The season goes from, like, late October through May. Like,
no, I know
Fuck. You ever been to Cleveland?
It's awful.
Cleveland is one of two places in my life, yesterday included, that I haven't been able to fuel a rental car. So you have to get the rip-off charge.
Oh, no.
Because the reason I didn't do it last time was there wasn't a gas station open.
Yep.
The reason I didn't do it in Cleveland was it was -10 wind chill.
Oh, tell your story about yesterday.
Yeah, it's still shitty, but so is like Detroit and all those other crap-ass towns, but it's still like, I just can't stand
the
Miami. I think it ruins basketball.
I want to hear, Dan, you should tell your story about last night.
Okay. So I do comedy for a living.
Arguably.
Yeah.
He's making a living.
I'm just saying, I know he's making a living, but doing comedy?
Oh, zinger.
That's the arguable part.
Boom. Boom shakalaka. That's upgraded boom.
I'm now a writer. Werewolf
movies. Bill Murray.
The new werewolf.
What if I fucked you guys over and didn't include you guys in the script? I wrote this script.
We just didn't see you for a little while.
And it sold $120 million.
That'd be great.
We just didn't see you for a little while.
You know, that would be such a good story. I would be happy just to be bitter about that.
Here's what I'm bitter about. I got fucked over in the worst movie ever.
here's why I get to be an asshole forever.
That would be hysterical. Hey guys,
but also what'd be great about is there's record of it.
It's all recorded on the internet.
Hey guys, what's new? Dan, what's up with the Bentley and all the werewolf merch?
There's no pictures of it.
Dan, why are you wearing so many sunglasses?
All right, so anyway, here's what happened, right? Yesterday, I did a college in Georgia. At the Savannah College of Art and Design.
Oh, SCAD. I have a friend that went there.
Yeah, SCAD.
Yeah.
So anyway, I booked my ticket for there in early July, because Savannah's an expensive airport.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I've ever had, like even like my agent sent me a thing, it's like the nearest major airport is in Charleston. That's 85 miles away, that's difficult, that's an expensive airport. But I'm like, fuck it, I'll go to Savannah, I got the money. I did a hack line. Anyway, so fucking...
But I think that's sincere. Like, it costs a lot of money to go there.
Yeah, it does.
Even though it's not a fancy place.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so I get there, and I fly in. I'm exhausted. I'm on, like, 3 hours sleep because I stayed up drinking the night before. I'm not a good flyer. And I get there, and the kid, after a while, I couldn't find the kid's number. So he finally calls me. Somebody to pick you up at the airport. He's like, yeah, man, I'm here. Where you at? And I'm like... Yeah, I'm also here. And then he's like, yeah, I'm at this place, and I'm just running around this airport, which isn't very big, trying to find this kid.
Yeah.
And he finally goes, like, yeah, I'm by AirTran, the AirTran thing. You fly United, right? I'm like, yeah, I fly United. Let me just ask the guy. I asked the security guy, and I'm like, we don't have AirTran here. The kid's in Atlanta. The school's at a satellite campus for SCAD. So I have to rent a car on, like, 5 hours sleep, drive 4 hours to Atlanta, do an hour, go back to Savannah.
That's bad.
It was shit.
It's definitely not good.
Ugh. I don't know if we have anything funny to say about this.
It's the worst.
But it was terrible at the time. And I still think it was terrible because I slept until about before we did this podcast.
I remember that. You texted me. I just woke up. It was 6 p.m.
He texted me yesterday, or left a message yesterday about doing the canoe. It was like, text me, and I texted him back. Yeah, man, what time? And then heard today. You gonna do it? Never wrote back. How long have you been sleeping?
20 hours.
He's like Junior Rip Van Winkle.
I don't know what that means.
He's a guy that slept for like a zillion, 40 years or something.
Really?
It's, not for real. It was like
but it's not like science.
It's not science.
It wouldn't be science either way.
Nope.
Uh-oh. Killing the 40.
No to 40. It's down to a 34.
That'd be great news for your waist. I mean, you've done some dieting.
Hey, 40's gone.
Well, guys.
With the wind.
We've got a couple more minutes of beer left. A couple more minutes of podcast left. Anything?
I don't know. I'm going to write a book about podcasting, and it's called How to Squeeze a Lemon.
Okay.
I think you just stick with it until something funny comes up.
I think we did a lot of funny things.
We did a lot of funny
things. This was a really good podcast.
But as you remember from last week, the funniest part happened in overtime.
Yeah.
It's like a soccer game.
It is.
You keep going until you score.
With Piccarillo's story.
Is that how
it's
soccer works?
So funny. We can't tell it because we told it last week, but we'll tell you afterwards. It's amazing.
Do you guys edit this or do you just.
No,
go?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, nice. That's the
way. Partially because we don't know how to.
Yes. Yeah. But also.
I did a podcast in Seattle and they were
we're
going to edit this down to
30. A great man once said, ignorance is not editing.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Me just now.
I think that sounds much smarter than the person who said it.
Look how he's sitting right now. When Bulger makes a good point, he's got the posture of like a fucking, like Ben Franklin when he just
I'm not going to lie. When I did that American Revolution quote, I got a little chip in my step.
Yeah?
Okay, I'm not going to be funny anymore, but I'm just going to chime in with shit.
I've got a chip in my step.
Not a thing. Nope.
Actually, yeah, that would debilitate a step, wouldn't it?
Like a bone spur.
Bone spur.
Oh, I've got a broken
and
foot.
And he came screaming back to Earth.
Oh my God. Had that not just happened right now.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's been the podcast. Dan comes screaming back to Earth. Good night, everybody. Live free or die hard.